Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest.
We gather in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Grace and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Dear friends in Christ, for 5 weeks of Lent, we've been preparing by works of charity and self-sacrifice for the celebration of our Lord's Paschal mystery. Today we come together to begin this solemn celebration in union with the whole Church throughout the world. Christ entered in triumph into his own city to complete his work as our Messiah, to suffer, to die, and to rise again. Let us remember with devotion this entry, which began his saving work, and follow him with a lively faith. United with him in his suffering on the cross, may we share his resurrection and new life. And let us pray. I invite you to hold your palm branches aloft. Almighty God, we pray you, bless these branches and make them holy. Today we joyfully acclaim Jesus, our Messiah and King. May we reach one day the happiness of the new and everlasting Jerusalem by faithfully following him who lives and reigns forever and ever. Lord be with you.
And also
with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus then went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. When he had come near Bethphage and Bethany, at the place called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of the disciples, saying, "Go into the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' just say this, 'The Lord needs it.' So those who were sent departed and found it as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' And they said, 'The Lord needs it.' Then they brought it to Jesus, and after throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. As he rode along, people kept spreading their cloaks on the road. As he was now approaching the path down from the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the deeds of power that they had seen, saying, 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven.' Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, 'Teacher, order your disciples to stop.' But he answered, 'I tell you, if these were silent, the stones themselves would shout out.'" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
So let us now go forth in peace, praising Jesus our Messiah, as did the crowds who welcomed him to Jerusalem. Hosanna.
Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest.
And let us pray. Almighty, ever-living God, you have given the human race, Jesus Christ, our Savior, as a model of humility. He fulfilled your will by becoming man and giving his life on the cross. Help us to bear witness to you by following his example of suffering, and make us worthy to share in his resurrection. We ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen.
A reading from the prophet Isaiah. The Lord has given me a disciple's tongue, so that I may know how to reply to the wearied. He provides me with speech. Each morning he wakes me to hear, to listen like a disciple. The Lord has opened my ear. For my part, I made no resistance, neither did I turn away. I offered my back to those who struck me, my cheeks to those who tore at my beard. I did not cover my face against insult or spittle. The Lord comes to my help, so that I am untouched by the insults. So too, I set my face like flint. I know I shall not be shamed. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
My God, why have you abandoned me?
My God,
why have you abandoned me? All who see me deride me. They curl their lips, they toss their heads. He trusted in the Lord. Let him save him. Let him release him if this is his friend. My God, why have you abandoned me? Many dogs have surrounded me. A band of the wicked beset me. They tear holes in my hands and my feet. I can count every one of my bones. My God, why have you abandoned me? They divide my clothes among them. They cast lots for my robe. O Lord, do not leave me alone. My strength, make haste to help me. My God, why have you abandoned me? I will tell of your name to my brethren and praise you where they are assembled. You who fear the Lord, give him praise, all sons of Jacob, give him glory. Revere him, Israel's sons. My God, why have you abandoned me? A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Philippians. His state was divine, yet Christ Jesus did not cling to his equality with God, but emptied himself to assume the condition of a slave, and became as men are, and being as all men are, he was humbler yet, even to accepting death on a cross. But God raised him high and gave him the name which is above all other names, so that all beings in the heavens, on earth, and in the underworld should bend the knee at the name of Jesus, and that every tongue should acclaim Jesus Christ as Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is the word of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ, King of endless glory. Christ became obedient for us, even to death, dying on the cross. Therefore, God raised him on high and gave him a name above all other names. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ, King of endless glory.
When the hour came, Jesus left the upper room to make his way as usual to the Mount of Olives, with the disciples following. When they reached the place, he said to them,
"Pray not to be put to the test."
Then he withdrew from them about a stone's throw away and knelt down and prayed, saying,
"Father, if you are willing, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, let your will be done, not mine."
Then an angel appeared to him, coming from heaven to give him strength. In his anguish he prayed even more earnestly, and his sweat fell to the ground like great drops of blood. When he rose from prayer, he went to the disciples and found them sleeping for sheer grief. He said to them,
"Why are you asleep? Get up and pray not to be put to the test."
He was still speaking when a number of men appeared, and at the head of them the man called Judas, one of the 12, who went up to Jesus to kiss him. Jesus said,
"Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss?"
They seized him then and led him away, and they took him to the high priest's house. When day broke, there was a meeting of the elders of the people, attended by the chief priests and scribes. He was brought before their council, and they said to him,
"If you are the Christ, tell us."
"If I tell you, you will not believe me. And if I question you, you will not answer. But from now on, the Son of Man will be seated at the right hand of the power of God."
"So you are the Son of God then?"
"It is you who say, I am."
"What need of witnesses have we now? We have heard it ourselves from our own lips."
The whole assembly then rose, and they brought him before Pilate. They began their accusation by saying,
"We found this man inciting our people to revolt, opposing payment of tribute to Caesar, and claiming to be Christ our king."
Pilate put to him this question,
"Are you the king of the Jews?"
"It is you who say it."
Pilate then said to the chief priests and the crowd,
"I find no case against this man."
Pilate then summoned the chief priests and the leading men and the people. He said,
"You brought this man before me as a political agitator. Now I have gone into the matter myself in your presence and found no case against him, nor has Herod either, since he has sent him back to us. As you can see, the man has done nothing that deserves death, so I shall have him flogged and then let him go."
But as one man they howled,
"Away with him, give us Barabbas."
This man had been thrown into prison for causing a riot in the city and for murder. Pilate was anxious to set Jesus free and addressed them again, but they shouted back,
"Crucify him, crucify him."
And for the third time he spoke to them,
"Why? What harm has this man done? I have found no case against him that deserves death, so I shall have him punished and then let him go."
But they kept on shouting at the top of their voices, demanding that he should be crucified, and their shouts were growing louder. Pilate then gave his verdict. Their demand was to be granted. He released the man they asked for, who had been imprisoned for rioting and murder, and handed Jesus over to them to deal with as they pleased. As they were leading him away, they seized on a man, Simon from Cyrene, who was coming in from the country, and made him shoulder the cross and carry it behind Jesus. Large numbers of people followed him, and of women too, who mourned and lamented for him. But Jesus turned to them and said,
"Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, weep rather for yourselves and for all your children. For the days will surely come when people will say, 'Happy are those who are barren, the wombs that have never borne, the breasts that have never nursed.'"
Now with him they were also leading out two other criminals to be executed. When they reached the place called the Skull, they crucified him there and the two criminals also, one on the right, the other on the left. Jesus said,
"Father, forgive them. They do not know what they are doing."
Then they cast lots to share out his clothing. The people stayed there watching him. As for the leaders, they jeered at him, saying,
"He saved others. Let him save himself if he is the Christ of God, the chosen one."
The soldiers mocked him too, and when they approached to offer him vinegar, they said,
"If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself."
Above him there was an inscription, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals hanging there abused him, saying,
"Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us as well."
But the other spoke up and rebuked him,
"Have you no fear of God at all? You got the same sentence as he did, but in our case, we deserved it. We are paying for what we did, but this man has done nothing wrong. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom."
"Indeed, I promise you, today you will be with me in paradise."
It was now about the sixth hour, and with the sun eclipsed, a darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour. The veil of the temple was torn right down the middle, And when Jesus had cried out in a loud voice, he said,
Father, into your hands I commit my spirit.
With these words he breathed his last. When the centurion saw what had taken place, he gave praise to God and said,
This was a great and good man.
And when all the people who had gathered for the spectacle saw what had happened, they went home beating their breasts. All his friends stood at a distance. So also did the women who had accompanied him from Galilee, and they saw all this happen. Then a member of the council arrived, an upright and virtuous man named Joseph. He had not consented to what the others had planned and carried out. He came from Arimathea, a Jewish town, and he lived in the hope of seeing the kingdom of God. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. He then took it down, wrapped it in a shroud, and put him in a tomb which was hewn in stone in which no one had yet been laid. It was preparation day and the Sabbath was imminent. Meanwhile, the women who had come from Galilee with Jesus were following behind. They took note of the tomb and of the position of the body. Then they returned and prepared spices and ointments. And on the Sabbath day they rested, as the law required.
The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
This man has done nothing wrong. This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. In the time of the Roman Empire, when a person was crucified, and almost invariably it was a male, the charge of what they had done was posted above their heads, whether they were a criminal or an insurgent, whether they had stolen something substantial, whether they were a runaway slave. The charge that is leveled against Jesus is that he was the King of the Jews. Pilate, of course, put this as a way of mocking him. But it was part of the accusation that the crowd brought against Jesus. This man was leading the people astray, causing them to revolt, telling them not to pay their taxes, not to pay tributes to Caesar, and claiming to be the Christ, a king. Of course, each of those three claims that the crowd makes are all false. Jesus wasn't leading the crowd astray. He was healing. He was freeing. He was forgiving sins. He was offering new hope. And when the question arose as to whether taxes had to be paid to Caesar, of course he said that we had to render unto Caesar what belonged to Caesar. When people would claim him as the Christ, when they would say, Are you the Messiah? He was either silent, or if they gave him that title, he asked them to be quiet. Because he knew they would get it wrong. He knew that they would be confused. In this most holy day, as we enter into this holy week, the liturgy is somewhat confusing. It begins on a note of triumph. It begins with all those hosannas and cries of exclamation, cries of worship of the Lord. We join the crowd as they welcome the Messiah. Like David when he came into Jerusalem and he danced before the Ark of the Covenant, we also join in that sense of jubilation and triumph as we welcome Christ to come among us, to walk in our midst. We join the crowd as they shout out their hosannas. We join the crowd because we know, as Jesus said, that if we are silent, then the rocks themselves will cry out in worship of God. And so quickly, so shockingly, suddenly, the liturgy twists, and we're there with the suffering servant. We're there with that great hymn of Paul, extolling the virtues of the Son of God, who did not cling to his equality with God, but emptied himself. And then we're there in the garden, and we're there at the trial. We're there as we witness some of the worst acts of humanity, opposing the man who had done nothing wrong. As the criminal acknowledged, they had sinned. They deserved the punishment that they were getting, but not Jesus. He had done nothing wrong. And in a sense, it was the most appropriate place for Jesus to die, there between these two criminals. Because as you live, so shall you die. He had spent his whole public ministry, the whole of his adult life, in the company of the undesirables, in the company of people that we wouldn't want to keep company with: tax collectors and sinners, prostitutes and people who had organized revolt against the Lord. Good God, he even kept company of lawyers. Sorry, Grant. And in the midst of this, he shows the way that he would die. He showed the way of the kingdom of God. He showed us the heart of God. That it didn't matter what we had done, he gave his life for each of us. Sometimes we like to imagine that sinners are someone else. Sinners are those people who have committed murder. Sinners are the adulterers. Sinners are the thieves. Sinners are the people who didn't turn their lights off last night during Earth Hour. Or maybe sinners are the people who did turn their lights off during Earth Hour. Maybe sinners are the pedophiles. Or sinners are the bishops who covered up all of this. Maybe sinners are people who continue to entrap young children in prostitution. Maybe it's the heads of multinationals who like to enslave people, who like to pay people much less than they're worth. Maybe it's the terrorists. Maybe it's the dictators, the heads of foreign governments who enslave children in the army. Or maybe it's people like me. Maybe it's people who are just full of pride, full of arrogance, who like telling stories, who like gossiping, who like to be one up on someone else. Whatever the sin of the others, Jesus died for me. Jesus took this into his own flesh. Jesus accepted all of that punishment, all of that pain, all of that cruelty, so that we might know hope, so that we might know freedom and forgiveness. This week we're given a chance to spend time once again before the cross. And I invite you during your prayer this week to hold a crucifix. Take it into your hand. Look upon the figure of Christ on the cross. Allow his love to be real for you. Allow the truth of what he did to be true. Let that death on the cross not be in vain. Let that death be for my salvation, for your freedom, for your gift of life. We're invited to come and reflect upon the very mystery of God's self and to receive that gift deep into our lives, into our hearts this week as we move into this most holy week. So let us stand as we continue with the prayer of the faithful. My sisters and brothers, in the name of Jesus, who came to reconcile us to one another and to the Father, let us bring our needs to the Lord Almighty, to our God, in prayer.
For Pope Benedict and all bishops of the Church, that they may be affirmed and renewed in spirit, mind and body as they lead the faithful in celebrating the Paschal Mystery during Holy Week. Lord, hear us.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For all Christian people, that they might reflect the mystery of Christ crucified and risen in their daily lives. Lord, hear us.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For all those preparing to receive the Easter sacraments for the first time, may the power of the risen Christ lead them to share joyfully in the life and mission of the Church. Lord, hear us.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For all who work for Caritas Australia, may they be rewarded for their dedication and commitment as they strive to enable others to grow to their full potential and human dignity. Lord, hear us.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For the sick and all who suffer, we pray. May they find comfort in the Lord, whose passion, death, and resurrection has brought us new hope and life. Lord, hear us.
Lord, hear our prayer.
We prayerfully remember all who belong to Christ in life and have gone before us in death. John Basher, Maud Crossingham, Joseph Trotter, June Rowe, Peter Garrity, Miriam McCall-McDale, Father Maury Crocker and Father Peter Moore, whose anniversaries occur at this time. May they rest in eternal peace. Lord, hear us.
Lord, hear our prayer. Faithful God, you sent your Son to save us from sin, that we may rise with him in new life. Help us to reflectively walk the path of Holy Week and draw us more deeply into the mind and heart of Christ. We make our prayer in the name of Jesus, our Lord.
All who see me deride me, they tear holes in my hands and my feet. Will no one have mercy? I must see.
pray that our sacrifice may be acceptable to God the Almighty Father. Lord, may the suffering and death of Jesus, your only Son, make us pleasing to you. Alone we can do nothing, but may this perfect sacrifice win us your mercy and love. We ask this in the name of Jesus, our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
Lift up the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Father, all-powerful and ever-living God, we do well always and everywhere to give you thanks and praise through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Though he was sinless, he suffered willingly for sinners. Though innocent, he accepted death to save the guilty. By his dying, he has destroyed our sins. By his rising, he has raised us up to holiness of life. And so we praise you, Lord, with all the angels in their song of joy. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power, God of might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna in the highest. God, our Father, we had wandered far from you, but through your Son you have brought us back. You gave him up to death so that we might turn again to you and find our way to one another. Therefore we celebrate the reconciliation Christ has gained for us. We ask you to sanctify these gifts by the power of your Spirit, that they may become for us the body and blood of your beloved Son, as we now fulfill his command. While he was at supper on the night before he died for us, he took bread in his hands and gave you thanks and praise. He broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take this, all of you, and eat it. This is my body, which will be given up for you." At the end of the meal, he took the cup. Again, he praised you for your goodness, gave the cup to his disciples, and said, "Take this, all of you, and drink from it. This is the cup of my blood, the blood of the new and everlasting covenant. It will be shed for you and for all, so that sins may be forgiven. Do this in memory of me." Let us proclaim the mystery of faith. Dying, you destroyed our death. Rising, you restored our life. Lord Jesus, come in glory. Lord our God, your Son has entrusted to us this pledge of his love. We celebrate the memory of his death and resurrection and bring you the gift you have given us, the sacrifice of reconciliation. Therefore, we ask you, Father, to accept us together with your Son. Fill us with his Spirit. Through our sharing in this meal, may he take away all that divides us. May this Spirit keep us always in communion with Benedict our Pope, Peter our Bishop, with all the bishops and all your people. Father, make your church throughout the world a sign of unity and an instrument of your peace. You have gathered us here around the table of your Son, in fellowship with the Virgin Mary, the Mother of God, and all the saints. In that new world, where the fullness of your peace will be revealed, gather people of every race, language, and way of life to share in the one eternal banquet with Jesus Christ, our Lord. Through him, with him, and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours, Almighty Father, forever and ever. Amen. 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 And so let us now pray together in the words that Jesus himself gave us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Deliver us, Lord, from every evil, and grant us your peace in our day. In your mercy, keep us free from sin, and protect us from all worry and anxiety, as we wait in joyful hope for the coming of our Saviour, Jesus Christ. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Lord Jesus Christ, you said to your apostles, I leave you peace. My peace I give you. Look not on our sins, but on the faith of your church. And grant us the peace and unity of your kingdom, where you live forever and ever.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you always. Let's share the peace of the Passion of the Christ.
Jesus, Lamb of God, you take away the sins of the world. Have mercy on us. Jesus, Lamb of God, you take away the sins of the world. Have mercy on us. Jesus, Lamb of God, grant us your peace.
This is our Lord Jesus, the Lamb of God, the Lord who suffered for us, who spread out his arms as a sign of his incredible love poured out for us, the one who took our sins, who took our punishment, so that we would be free. How blessed are we who are called to share at this table. Lord, I am not worthy to receive you, but only say the word and I shall be healed.
Compassion, blot out my offense. Oh, wash me more and more from my guilt, and cleanse me from my sin. My offenses, truly I know them. My sin is always before me. Against you alone have I sinned. What is evil in your sight I have done, that you may be justified when you give sentence, and be without reproach when you judge. O see, in guilt I was born, a sinner was I conceived. Indeed you love truth in the heart, then in the secret of my heart teach me wisdom. Oh, purify me, then I shall be clean. Oh, wash me, I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear rejoicing and gladness, that the bones you have crushed may revive. From my sins turn away your face, and blot out all my guilt. A pure heart create for me, O God. Put a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, nor deprive me of your Holy Spirit. Give me again the joy of your help. With a spirit of fervor sustain me, that I may teach transgressors your ways, and sinners may return to you. O rescue me, God, my helper, and my tongue shall ring out your goodness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall declare your praise. For in sacrifice you take no delight, burnt offering from me you would refuse. My sacrifice a contrite spirit, a humbled contrite heart you will not spurn. In your goodness show favor to Zion, rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. Then you will be pleased with lawful sacrifice, holocaust offered on your altar. Give praise to the Father Almighty, to His Son Jesus Christ the Lord. To the Spirit who dwells in our hearts, both now and forever. Amen.
Let us pray. Lord, you have satisfied our hunger with this Eucharistic food. The death of your Son gives us hope and strengthens our faith. May his resurrection give us perseverance and lead us to salvation. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. So do enter into this Holy Week as a great opportunity to be renewed and to rediscover just the power of the Saviour's love, to receive his gift, particularly during the celebration of the Easter Triduum, so which begins on Holy Thursday night, the 1st of April, at 7 p.m. over in the parish hall with the Mass of the Lord's Supper. Continues then on Good Friday at 3 p.m. with the solemn commemoration of the Lord's Passion, and then concludes with the Easter Vigil at 7 p.m. again in the parish hall. The usual Sunday Masses will also be for the Lord's Day or the Day of the Resurrection at 8, 9:30 and 6. Now, if you are very astute, you would have noticed that we have the new old altar back. We figure it dates probably from about 1850. And it used to be in the church before the monstrosity that was there replaced it. Hopefully no one here is responsible for that monstrosity. Anyway, but it was painted white previously, so it's been lovingly restored and renewed, and the pulpit was also, it almost looks like it's a cedar original too, doesn't it? And you might also notice there's a little bit more leg room in most places throughout the church. I've got rid of some of the pews to increase it from cattle class to premium economy. So, yeah, make sure you take home the bulletin with you to know what's happening so that you can enter into this incredible opportunity. The Lord be with you. May the God of love, the God of peace, the God of truth continue to be with you, to bless you, to fill you with his life and love. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I forgot that if you are free for readings or for extraordinary ministers of Holy Communion, or to have your feet washed during any of the celebrations, there's a sheet at the side door if you want to indicate your availability. That would be fabulous. The Mass has ended. Let us go in the peace of Christ.
Lord, hear